Hi, good evening, everybody. This is Parshas Bichul Kosai. So this week I want to talk about the halachas of brachas in the middle of a suda, which means after you washed, which types of food require a bracha and which types of food don't and are part of the suda and are covered by the hametz. So we can divide every meal into three parts. The appetizer, which would be like a fruit or a fruit cup or something to that effect, which precedes the main course. Then the main course, which in the main course we'll say is included the soup, fish, and whatever the main course is with the side dishes, all that is under the main course section of the meal. And lastly, there's dessert. So each of these three parts has a different halacha. Now, the underlying reasoning for what we do or don't make a bracha on is that bread is automatically considered the ikar of the suda. And therefore, anything else that comes along is looked as it's just accompanying the bread. And it's a tuffle to the bread. Bread is the main, and it's sort of like almost as peanut butter is a tuffle to bread and just meant to enhance the bread. We look at the whole meal that all it's really doing is enhancing the bread. That's the way Chazal looked at it, that's the way the Chachamim looked at it, and therefore everything is a tafel. Now, though that is limited, though, because not everything can be considered part of a bread meal. And the Gemara talks about this at length, and basically only things which are typically eaten together with bread, whether literally eaten together with bread or are eaten as an accompaniment to bread, can be considered a bread meal or the main part of the meal. Otherwise, it will require their own bracha rishayna. So, you know, main course things like chicken, meat, fish, soup, etc., all those are considered accompanying the bread. They're tuffle to the bread. They're there to enhance the bread. And they don't require any bracha, and they're a tuffle. But anything other than that, which we'll talk about in a moment, is not a tuffle to the bread. And it requires its own bracha rishayna, but it does not require bracha achrayna. It is included in benching. Benching will cover it regardless. So everything that we'll be saying here requires its own bracha rishayna, is only a bracha rishayna, but you don't have to make a bracha achrayna. The bracha achrayna is covered by benching. Now, fruit, as a rule, is not considered a part of a meal. Now, when I say fruit, I mean whether it's a ha'etz, like an apple or an orange, or it's a ha'adama, like a fruit type of vegetable, like cantaloupe, watermelon, honeydew, bananas, strawberries. The fact that the bracha is hadama is a technicality, but we look at it like fruit. We even refer to it as fruit. So in most circumstances, almost all, you will be required to make a bracha rishayna on fruit whenever they're served at any point during the meal. But we'll see in a moment, there can be exceptions, and there are situations where you don't have to make a bracha on fruit. Now, chicken, meat, typical vegetables, you know, broccoli, that type of thing, carbs, are considered the mainstay of the meal, and therefore almost always covered by the hametz. So let's start with the first section, and we'll figure out what's a rule and what's an exception. So now, if you start with an appetizer, you know, like if you would have a grapefruit or a fruit cup, typically we would think that's not part of the meal. However, the definition of an appetizer is that, as the name suggests, is there to bring on the appetite. And therefore, the Pesukim says that by virtue of that, it is considered part of the meal because it's helping you eat the meal. It's bringing on your appetite. And therefore, even things which typically wouldn't be considered part of the meal, like fruit, being that they're an appetizer, we do consider it part of the meal. So that's why when you eat a grapefruit or a fruit cup as an appetizer, even though it's almost always the rule that fruits aren't part of a meal, here, being that they're in the capacity of an appetizer and they're bringing on your appetite and helping you eat the meal, that in and of itself is a reason why they should be considered part of the meal and they should be covered by the bread. But it's a suffix. Not everybody agrees. It's a machlokes sefaiskim. Being that it's a suffix, so now you have three options. The first option, and this is the best option, even though it might seem strange, is to make ha'etz before you even wash. That's the best option because at that point there's no question, you have to make ha'etz. So for example, let's say it's on Shabbos, you heard Kiddush, you made Kiddush, even Friday night, now you're free to eat, so even though you didn't wash yet, if the grapefruit is already out on the table, take a little bite of it, eat less than a kezayis, take just a spoonful, make your ha'etz, and then you're covered, then you wash, and you're good. And I mean, obviously, you could do this any time during the week. That's the best eitzah, is to make the ha'eitz before you actually start the meal. And if you remember to do that, that is, you know, the easiest way to go about it. The second option is to find a fruit, which is clearly not an appetizer, like, you know, you find some random apple or some of the dessert that's sitting on the counter, and make a bracha on that. And that's something that clearly needs a bracha, so that will cover the ha'eitz on the appetizer as well. And the third option is to eat the appetizer with bread. Now, when we say eat the appetizer with bread, it doesn't mean, it's not clear exactly what that means. Does that mean the first bite is with bread, the first and the last bite is with bread, or every bite is with bread? And therefore, if you are going to use that option, you do need to eat every bite with bread, which can be difficult. And therefore, the other two options generally are the easier option, if they're available. But otherwise, you can always eat it with bread. Lastly, if all of those options, for whatever reason, aren't a good option, there's not enough bread or challah available, you don't want to eat so much challah, whatever, most places will agree that you just eat it without making a bracha. Now, if the first course is a fruit soup, then everybody agrees it is part of the meal, because we view it as a soup and not as an appetizer. And even if there's fruit floating in it, the fruit, generally the pieces will just be a tuffle to the soup, and it doesn't require a bracha, and you don't need, you know, it's, we look at it as soup and not as an appetizer. Now, the main course, moving on to the second section, the main course generally will never require a bracha. The question arises where you have a side dish which is exclusively fruit. For example, let's say you have grilled pineapples as a side dish. So many, many places can hold that it would require its own bracha. And now, I'm not talking about pineapple chicken. Pineapple chicken is that the pineapples are part of the main course itself. And it's a real tuffle simply to the chicken, and by default a tuffle to the bread. What we would talk about is something like cranberry sauce, where you have like a whole separate bowl of cranberry sauce, which you sort of eat by itself. I mean, I don't do this that often, but anything like that, any that type of situation where you eat the sauce or the fruit on its own as a side dish, much of the way you would eat kugel, then many places can hold it needs a bracha, and what you need to do is eat it with, you should eat it with bread, or if you don't eat it with bread, then make a bracha on it. The dessert also almost always requires a bracha, whether it's fruit, if it's ices, if it's sorbet. And the only exception to the bracha by dessert is if you're eating mezainis. Now, there's two parts to this. If you're not full at the point when you get up to the dessert, and you really are still hungry, so then no matter what type of mezainis it is, you don't make a bracha on it. It's considered part of the meal. If you are full and you're still eating dessert despite the fact that you're full because it looks so delicious and you don't want to insult your host or whatever, so then it depends. It depends if the mezainis is a passable bekistin or if it's not. Now, this is a little bit more complicated, and I really would want to dedicate a whole shiur for this, so I'll leave that out for now. So just so far, what we know is that the dessert will always require a bracha, whether it's fruit, ices, or sorbet, but if it's mezainis, if you're not full, you for sure don't make a bracha. If you're totally full, then we're going to have to wait to find out exactly what the rules of that is. Okay, so in summary, the three parts of the meal, there's the appetizer, there's the main course, and there's the dessert. The dessert almost always needs a bracha, except for a mezainis. The appetizer will always be a suffek, and therefore you should do one of three options to get out of the suffek, which is to make a bracha before you wash, or to make a bracha on something else, which is clearly not an appetizer, or to eat it with bread. And during the main course of the meal, fruit, if it's literally part of the main course, it doesn't require a bracha, but if it's a side dish, a standalone side dish, it will require a bracha. Now, this week is Parshas B'chukosai, and the Parshas B'chukosai is mostly dedicated to the Teichacha, to the all the punishments, the very severe punishments that the terrorist goes through and shows us what happens if you don't keep the Torah. And we know there are two times that the Torah goes through the Teichacha, goes through these klalos, these curses. One is this week's parasha, the Chukai Sai, and the other one is Parshas Kisavo, which is almost all the way at the end of Devarim. Now, what's interesting is that what these two parashiyos have in common is that all the parashiyos of the year are organized specifically so that these two should come out when they do, which is the Chukaisai has to precede Shavuos, and Kisavai has to precede Rosh Hashanah. And we put parashiyos together, we keep them separate. Everything that we do when we combine and separate parashiyos and we organize them is all mainly that this should happen, that the Chukaisai should come out before Shavuos, and Kisavai should come out before Rosh Hashanah. Now, why is that? So the Gemara explains the reason. It says that we want the year to end with all its klalos. The expression is "tichla shana v'kila leseha." Let the year end with its punishments, with its klalos, with its negative aspects, difficulties, its taras, and we should start a new year. V'tichla v'tachel shana b'chaseh. We should start a new year with its blessings. We symbolically read the tichla to show that all that is needed to be rectified has already retroactively been taken care of. And now we're free to start anew. So the Gemara asks the obvious question. The Gemara says, okay, so that makes sense for Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a new year. But why do we lay it before Shavuos? So the Gemara says, no, Shavuos is also a Rosh Hashanah. It's a Rosh Hashanah le'ilanos. It's a Rosh Hashanah for the fruits of the tree. So now it seems a little bit obscure. But the Shalach HaKadosh says, and he brings from a sefer called Tela'at Yaakov, that when we refer to the fruits of the trees, what we really mean are the neshamas of Klal Yisrael. That's what's referred to when we say the fruit of the tree. It's Rosh Hashanah for the fruit of the tree. Now, I want to explain this concept a little bit. Obviously, I don't really understand it, but I want to just give some understanding to it. And I also want to try to see if we can find and see what the importance is that the Teichacha, the Klalos, these bitter nevuah precedes Shavuos. I recently saw a beautiful vart from Rav Simcha Bunim Pshutzcha, one of the big great rebbes. He asked that if we look at the Birchas HaShachar, the brachas we make in the morning, most of them are brachas on something that gets renewed day after day. We make a bracha on the new day, on Eismosach Levina. We make a bracha on eyesight, Pekeach Ivrim. We make a bracha on clothing, Malvash Arumim, on the ability to walk, Amechem Mitzadei Gover, and so on. But one of the brachas that are included is the bracha of Shaloi Asani Gai. You didn't make me a guy. Now he says, that doesn't make sense. Why would you make a bracha on that every day? That's a foregone conclusion. Once someone becomes a Jew, there's no turning back. If you're born a Jew, if you become a Jew, that's it. It's done. Make the bracha once and no need to repeat it. Why do we make this bracha every day? So he answers that in truth, a Jew needs to make himself every day. He converts himself literally every day from a non-Jew into a Jew. Being a Jew, being a Yid, is not a static thing. It's not a status quo. It's a daily grind. It's a job for every day. Every day, with every mitzvah and every tefillah, we are redefining and remaking our Jew, our Yid. Now, when we think about the Yantav of Rosh Hashanah, the Yantav of Rosh Hashanah is for every human being in the world. It's a time the whole human race is judged. It's a time to refresh our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as His creation. We say on Rosh Hashanah, Zeh HaYom Tchilos Masachah, this day is the beginning of your creation. Shavuos, however, is the birth of the Jewish nation. It's the Rosh Hashanah of our Jewish identity. It's a time to refresh and restart our lives as Jews, our commitment to the Torah, the keeping of the mitzvahs, and our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not as His creation, but rather as His Yidden, as His Am HaNivcha. That's what Shavuos is about. It's the birth of the neshama of a Yid. Is the recreation, is the new year of ourselves as Yidden. Now, the Teichacha is harsh and is difficult to read. It emphasizes the reality of failure. It demonstrates where Averis can take us. But the point of reading the Teichacha is not to scare us. The purpose is for us to identify what has happened to us or where we're holding and to demonstrate what needs to change and where it will go if we don't. This way we can utilize the opportunity of a new year properly. We can say, Tichla Shana V'Kila Leisel, let the year and its curses end by actively ending them and finding a new year. So let me give an example of one of the ways that the Tichla gives us a direction. It gives us a path how to start a new year. the Zecha repeatedly warns against Imtelchu imi keri, if you will go with me with keri. What does that mean? So loosely it's translated, if you will live with me in a happenstance manner. Now, what exactly this means, Rashi has a number of explanations for this. One explanation, he says, is mikre arai. Arai means not serious, not permanent, not something that takes a main place, an important place in your life. Now, in order to understand what the difference, when we're talking about keeping mitzvahs, what does it mean, keeping mitzvahs in an arai fashion, in a not permanent fashion, or keeping mitzvahs in a keva fashion? So I want to give a real extreme demonstration of this. The real tzadkanias of old, the women and the men of you know, the many years past, they had Shabbos prepared way in advance. Thursday night, they worked hard and long. Friday morning, they finished up. And by Chatzos and Friday, they were done. They sat and they literally waited for Shabbos. They said Tehillim, they looked over the parasha, they prepared laning, they davened, and whatever else they did. Now, we'll compare this to our last minute's preparations for Shabbos, right? We're dripping from the shower, we're trying to pull on our clothing, brush our hair, wipe ourselves off, we throw stuff into the oven, we drag stuff out, we run, we're running around. So you see, there's a big difference here between these two scenarios, between what people whom Shabbos was a real keva, it took over their lives, and their life was organized around Shabbos and Arai, which means that Shabbos is made to fit in to your life. Now, obviously, this is very extreme, and we're far away off from this, but this is a beautiful place to see and understand what it means to make a mitzvah keva. Or to make a mitzvah keva means that the world and your life revolves around the mitzvah, not the other way around, not the way we do things now, that we squeeze mitzvahs in, or we squeeze the latest Hashem into what our lives are, but rather we reconstruct our lives around Torah mitzvahs. I remember my father telling me, showing me two men who davened in the shul where I grew up, and he was saying, you know, he went to yeshiva with them, and my father said that one thing that was outstanding about these two men was that the Rosh Hashiva, the father's Rosh Hashiva, who was Rav Michal Bar Reichmandel, used to come to New York City often to work for the yeshiva, to collect funds, other things. He said if he would call any of these two men for help, they were there. It didn't matter what they were in the middle of. It didn't matter what time, day of night. It didn't matter who they were talking to. The Rosh Hashiva came first. They organized their life around that ideal. That's what keva means. Keva means is that this is the mainstay of my life. Everything else is happenstance. That's a beautiful, beautiful approach to strive for in any mitzvah. It's a beautiful way to, it's a goal to look for in any part of our Avodas Hashem, if we could only find a way to make that something which is immutable, something which can't be moved aside, and something which can't be rushed. This is the main thing in my life. That's one of the many lessons that the Teichacha comes to teach us. So the Teichacha is giving us direction, and it's telling us, now's the time, right before Shavuos, end the year of Vikilisa, Tikla Shana Vikilisa, Kachel Shana Birchesa, find a way, we need to find a way to remake ourselves as Yidden, to have a rebirth as a Yid, and as part of the Jewish nation, being renewing our commitment to Torah Mitzvahs in a Keva way, in a permanent way, in a very serious way. And with that, we'll meet Hashem all together, be zeichah to a real Kabbalah. Have a good night and a good Shabbos.